Hey, everyone. We're so glad you're here. I'm Alisa Monjadas. I'm a marketing leader and executive coach.
I'm Courtney Copeland, and I'm an accountability and wellness coach.
And I'm Dr. Mirari Simeon, an activator of talent, HR executive, author, and working mom.
If you're anything like the successful multicultural women we interview on the What Rules podcast, you've learned that you can't do it alone. And we teach women like yourself to outsmart the game to get ahead in your career.
We're really talking about those rules that we grew up with as women and the expectations that have been placed on us.
Our mission is to change the face of leadership at What Rules podcast. As you listen to our talented guests, take note and take action. Go ahead, go and break those rules. Courtney, have you read the USA Today quote by Rachel Thomas? Mm-mm. She's the CEO of Lean In. Okay, well, let me tell you what just stood out to me. And it said like this: for the first time in 10 years, they're seeing a drop in companies' commitment to both gender and racial diversity. In 2024, several major U.S. corporations scaled back their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives for the first time in 10 years. And let me just remind you, we're in 2024.
That's crazy.
Yes. I'm laughing, but it's because I don't want to cry. I mean, we're in 2024. Companies are deprioritizing gender diversity. As a matter of fact, it dropped to 78% from 87% in 2019.
What?
78. Yes. And you know, you and I have talked about this for a while in this podcast. And
but the like fact having that a number behind it, I'm honestly shook.
Yes.
Yeah, we've talked about this till we're like blue in the face, but this is speechless. I cannot be the only one. I bet anybody who's listening to this right now has their jaw on the floor.
It's so true, because you do hear from your peers in the industry, hey, we're cutting this, we're cutting that. Mm-hmm. But to actually see the numbers behind it is, well, it reinforces why it is so important that as multicultural women, we stand behind and help support the advancement of DEI. I mean, we said it many times in this podcast, and still today, when the 2024 Lean In report came out, women of color are just 7% in the C-suite. So we're still not at the table. And this is critical, because as you know, this has been going on since the moment a woman even gets the first opportunity in corporate America.
The thing that doesn't make sense to me is like, what advantage does anyone gain from scaling back? How did we get there? I feel like this number, for me, considering how much we talk about it, I feel like this almost came out of nowhere. It's like 10 years later, right? And now we're here.
Well, for me is this, to your point. You continue to hear, well, not even hear, you know this. We all know this. We're in multicultural America today. Mm-hmm. The majority are multicultural, but yet organizations are still not supporting the growth and advancement of multicultural. And the broken rung continues to be one of the biggest hurdles for multicultural women to get in the pipeline.
I think that if we're like taking a step back and looking at, yes, broken rung, all of the research that we've looked at, because we've been following the yearly reports.
Yes.
We've been on it this whole time. And I think when it comes to advocating for DEI and advocating for multicultural women and advocating for both commitment to gender and racial diversity, I think an important conversation to have is, what is the most effective way to advocate? Over the past 10 years, like, we've been advocating. this podcast we advocate, right?
For the past 4 years, yes.
Yeah. So what needs to be done to shift that mindset and shift the commitment to move in a direction that's more inclusive?
And that's a great question. And I want to remind the listeners, actually, that yes, from the podcast perspective, we have been at this for a while, but I want to refer them to the episode that talks about how we can make an impact and help advance multicultural women. I want to remind everyone to listen to the episode on how to fix the broken rung. And also congrats again, Courtney, because we won the 2024 Signal Listener's Choice Award overall for the DEI category in this particular topic. We're talking about the broken rung. So I want to make sure that our listeners go and listen to that. But yeah, let's get into it and let's really talk about what is it that we need to do to help support and really advance multicultural women. And most importantly, what can we do? Because the latest research also says that employees who mentor or sponsor women of color, in 2020, it was 12% for women, and in 2024 is only 14%. So this particular podcast is for multicultural women, and I want to call you out as a multicultural woman, because how are we supporting our own? How are we helping advance our own if we are not advocating for diversity, equity, and inclusion as multicultural women? Then how do we expect others to advocate
and also care?
Yes.
Like, if we don't care, then who will?
If we don't care, then who will? If people see that as multicultural women, we do not support the advancement of DEI, then why would we expect anybody else to do so? I mean, I take this seriously as a multicultural woman in corporate America, because I do believe we play a key role, especially because we're the majority out there. We may not be in the C-suite yet, but we have a lot of power in the workplace as the majority.
Just to clarify, who is the majority that you're referring to?
So what I would say, we're the majority in the lower level positions. Mm-hmm. We are definitely the minority when it comes to this VP, C-suite, and above. But I would say it doesn't matter what position you're in as a multicultural woman. We have the power to advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion so that we could get to the goal, and that is to be at parity in the C-suite, to be at parity in the VP, SVP roles.
So going off of that, if we don't care, who will? I think it's really important when making or wanting to make some sort of powerful systemic change to really highlight and lean into the voices of those who are closest to the experience, because we also wouldn't, and we love our allies, we love advocates. And it's important to also really understand the lived experiences of people going through this. If we're not using our voices and sharing those stories and making it known, like, how would the world ever know? Actually, I think a really important question that we can throw out to everyone listening is, what is a part of your experience if you are a multicultural woman? What is a part of your experience that you need to share that could contribute to this change? Because I know we want the empathy, I know we want there to be insight, but what is being shared in order for us to put on the hat and actually be a change maker, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's a great question. And I think we can all take a look at what we bring to the table. And especially today, if you think about it, the people in power are, let's say, the 10%. They're the minority when it comes to population. So when you look at the pyramid, the 10% in power are the minority in the population, which means that the people that are not in power are the majority. So we have the knowledge of what it is from, I would even say, a ROI, a financial perspective, what it really takes to sell to a Latina that's a mother, that's a caretaker, right? I have insights that are powerful to different brands. Mm-hmm. I think many times we take for granted how we could be the change makers. We take for granted that we have a voice, we have insight, we have something so powerful that many people do not have. We have the lived experiences. And I think at the end of the day, we got to look at those with pride and say, I have insight that can actually knock you out of your seat when it comes to marketing or selling or actually inspiring people in my community to advocate for brand A, B, or C. So I think a lot of the times we take for granted our experiences and we hide them instead of saying our experiences are worth so much money, because you heard about it. I mean, the buying power for women alone is huge. And when you bring it to multicultural women, it's like we hold a wallet when it comes to financial power and buying power. So this is so important that I think we stop looking at ourselves like, oh, you know, poor me, all these DEI programs have gone down, and say, oh, this is my opportunity to really make a difference and take the experiences that I have and show our purchasing power, show everything that we bring to the table. So that's when I think, I love when you said change makers, how we could do that. And I say, starts with us. It starts how we view ourselves. Do we view ourselves as, you know, okay, I keep getting overlooked, or you're going to regret overlooking me because I have so much knowledge that if you don't buy it, somebody else will.
Well, what do you think is the barrier to advocacy? Because we know so many women with these unique lived experiences and these challenges, and they have an abundance of wisdom and insight to share. What do you think is a barrier for people?
So I think there's two. One, yes, there's a huge opportunity for the people in power to give opportunity for women. So I was reading in the McKinsey study that the only a third of white males go in for their first job. So that means that there is more women that start, right? But yet they are the 10% that are in power. So they are... that when you compare numbers to numbers, it's less of them starting and more of them in power. So from that perspective, I would say there's a huge opportunity for us, even as multicultural women who are starting and who are in those supervisor or manager positions. How are we supporting the growth of our people? But then also, obviously, from the 10% that is in power, how are they looking and saying, I want to be an advocate for diversity. I want to help support and really understand what those blind sides are, what their blind sides are. But since we're talking to multicultural women, I would say we need to all ask ourselves, what am I doing to really help support? Because when you look at that 14% that is sponsoring or mentoring women, that includes multicultural women in that 14%. That's just women, period. And when you think about the numbers and how large our population is, when you bring all the multicultural women together, what are we doing? If you're not mentoring or sponsoring another multicultural woman and you're a multicultural woman, I have a problem with that. Yes, I have a problem with the other 10%, you know, that is not supporting, but I have a problem with us being here and kind of saying, oh, we don't get this support, but where are we supporting those other women that are coming in the organization? Where are we coaching, mentoring, and supporting? Where are we helping them grow? And it may be that we only get to this level, to the senior director or VP level, but then what did we do? What did we do to bring others along? So I kind of go back and say, we need to ask ourselves as multicultural women, what can we do? And what are we not doing that we should be?
You honestly took the words out of my mouth. I was just thinking that. It's the mentors, the sponsors, and employee resource groups at companies who have a massive, massive role in this advocacy. And I love that. I love the call out, how you're like, if you are not mentoring, if you're not sponsoring, what are you doing? Like, but it's true. I think
a little passionate, that's all.
It's true, though. It's such an underrated source of support that honestly, I believe has the most impact. Like, that is how we grow and learn from each other. It's how you have mirrors to know, this is what I can grow into. This is what I could become. I do career coaching, and I can't tell you how many women across the board, especially women of color, especially multicultural women, who specifically choose or are now choosing to come out of remote work because they want the hands-on mentorship, sponsorship, and more of that interaction for the purpose of advancement. Like, we're not meant to do this alone. We're just not. And I feel like when we're thinking of what does it mean to advocate, I think a lot of people assume, oh yeah, if you just use your voice, if you as the individual speak up, that's enough to make a change. And here's the thing, I'm not belittling individual voices. What I'm saying is there's power in union and there's power in community. And it's really having like the group of allyship come together so we can actually move somewhere. Like, it's too big for one person to do alone. And to be honest, if we're talking about barriers, I think that's one of the barriers. I think a lot of people feel like, well, shoot, my one voice isn't enough, or my one perspective, X, Y, and Z. Like, the thing is, it takes one other person to join another, and then things can start to build.
I love what you said, that sometimes we think it's just me, but I want to read this piece of research. Mm-hmm. White men are the only group vastly overrepresented at the top of corporate America. They make up a third of entry-level workers, but over half of C-suite executives. And I say that because they make over half, and it's only in the end. And they're the least represented, right? You know, when they start, they're only a third at entry levels. So they're doing something right. They're coming in and they're sticking together. And when you talk about what is an opportunity for us, is what are we doing to help support each other?
Yeah.
Right? And how are we coming together to use the power that we have? It doesn't matter which position, the power for good. And I always say this, I'm like, if it is, you know, mentoring or helping advance somebody, I always go back, and it can't be that I'm always going back to my story. Like, I want other, you know, other stories, right? But it's like, when I started, it was somebody that just got me the first job as an entry level in corporate America. It's like, how many of us that are in corporate America today helping somebody else get another job in corporate America, yeah, right? Even if it's just that entry level. So it's, I think when you read the reports and you hear something so sad that in 10 years, we're actually going backwards, if that doesn't get people like outraged and questioning themselves, what can I do? Then what are we doing? Because we're the majority on the population right now. And if we are not going to come together now, then I don't know, we will. Actually, I was also reading that it's going to take 50 years for women overall to even be at parity in corporate America. 50 years. And that's just women overall. So it's not counting multicultural women. Oof. All right, now I'm getting depressed.
I mean, if you were okay with that, I would be more concerned. As we've been talking, I've been thinking back to the episode we did on feedback a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And feedback, I believe is also a form of advocacy. If you're a mentor, if you're a sponsor, or if you're an employee and you ask for it, like, I just encourage you to think of that as a way, as a way of advocacy, because you care enough about that person, about that woman, that multicultural woman, to help them grow. And I think some people, when they hear the word advocacy, they think it needs to be on like this grand platform. But again, it can start with one-to-one.
I love that. I would say that I agree with you. Small steps for big change. Start with your sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in a position of power, start with your peers. Start with your teens, right? Start in your neighborhood schools. Start with your neighbor's child who may not have an opportunity, right? Start with the sphere of influence. Sit down today and look around you and say, where is a multicultural child, woman that I can mentor and sponsor? If you have the ability to sponsor, please do it. It doesn't matter the sphere of influence that you're in. What matters is, to your point, Courtney, just start.
Yeah. Just start.
Start.
So I know that's easier said than done.
Yes.
Like telling someone, like, just start. Like, where should people start?
I always say this, if you want to start reading, you don't start by reading 10 books, right? You start by reading one page, one chapter at a time. So yeah, I look at it the same way. And you have to work a series of things. So number one, if you love to mentor and support, then do that. If you see the opportunity and you have a good relationship, because relationships are good, with a person in a position of power, whether it's a white male, it doesn't matter. Introduce them and talk about and highlight the accomplishments of other multicultural women. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I may not be in that position, but I'm like, I meet someone, I'm like, let me tell you all the great things that Courtney is doing in this division, in this department, or have you heard? We need to move into, actually, this is a challenge I want to put out there.
What is it?
Challenge yourself to at least once a day promote vocally another woman, promote another woman, and talk about good about another multicultural woman and highlight her to somebody else. I think that would be huge, because I think sometimes we're so focused on ourselves. And, you know, when we focus on ourselves, a lot of limiting beliefs come in. And I'm like, ooh, I don't want to say all the great things I'm doing. Ooh, I don't want to talk about that about me, because then it's going to seem that I'm boasting. I would challenge every woman out there, starting today, when an opportunity comes, it doesn't even matter. Whoever you talk to, anybody that you speak to, who are you going to talk about? That you're going to say all the great things that they're doing. And it could just be like, hey, my friend so-and-so is doing amazing things. I think it can be done. And I would love for people to tell us.
I think in the workplace too, it's so supportive to make someone's success very visible. So for example, if you and I were on a team and you were leading it, or maybe you were, you know, the supporting role in the project, whichever direction it goes, calling out how much of the success contributed to your presence and your action in a way that's like, hey, we couldn't have done this without you because you did that. And like making someone's success visible, letting people know, here's what you did really, really well. Or because you did this, it made all these other steps possible. Because sometimes those are the things that I think people are shy to say about themselves, but having that recognized from someone that you work with on your team, I mean, it makes a really big difference.
Absolutely. I would say we all have power, whether it's to give feedback or to influence or to highlight the accomplishments of others. Let's use that power for good. Let's use it. I think we're just leaving it on the table. I think, to your point, Courtney, how many opportunities have we had? I could think here right now, to be fair, and say, did I really acknowledge all the great things my team did today? I don't know that I did. you know, so I'll be guilty. Let me just say that I'm definitely not perfect at it, but I got to make sure that I continue to do more of it. And truthful too, honest one, right? The real feedback that it's true. You don't want to say you did great just because you want to say that, because you don't want to water down the message. But at the end of the day, that's a challenge that I'll take on myself. And I want people to journal it, to post it. Hey, I send it to someone, you know. Listen, this is either give somebody feedback, mentor, sponsor, but most importantly, spread the word about your multicultural peers. Spread the word about how amazing they are and all the great work that they're doing. And don't just say they're amazing. Hey, give the examples so that when others—
That's what I was just about to say. Like, make it tangible.
Yes.
You know, don't just say like, oh yeah, they're great, but like, why? What did they do? How did they do it? Like, share those tangible, measurable, actionable things so that it gives other people the chance to learn. I think that's going to bring way more awareness and powerful advocacy than just saying, oh yeah, Elisa did great. Like, that doesn't really tell you much other than it's an opinion. But like, put something concrete behind it. Like, say what you mean what you say, and don't be shy to empower another woman. Like, let it out. I actually, on that note, quick story, I did this with a friend last night. I hadn't seen her in probably like 4 or 5 years. She is such a boss. She's a boss when it comes to leading her life, leading her marriage, leading her children, leading her career. Like, she's got it going on. And she posted something really vulnerable a couple days ago. And it's funny, I had this moment where I was like, should I say anything? I feel like it's kind of weird. And I was like, you know what? It probably took a lot of courage for her to put that out there. Yes, she's bold. Yes, she's confident. But just because someone's bold and confident and sure of themselves, guess what? We're still human. And there's something inside that's still nerve-wracking. Like, to let that out feels very nerve-wracking. And so I sent her my thoughts. I sent her a voice memo. And we hadn't texted in like 2 years. We've stayed in touch through other platforms, and I didn't know if she would respond. I didn't know if she would even see it. I didn't even know if that was still her phone number. And she responded to me, and she was like, Courtney, I can't tell you how affirmed I feel. And yes, I put it out there publicly, but just knowing that one person really leaned in and it had an impact and it opened something up in you, that makes me want to keep sharing my voice. And for those people who are very vocal, if you're somebody who is maybe a little bit more bold and confident, I just encourage you to like keep showing up and being that person, because I also know on the other end, like, some people are more shy, but for the bold ones, and maybe it comes more naturally to you, don't be fooled. Like, that still takes a lot of mental and emotional effort on that side as well. And so give those people recognition and appreciation too. Like, I think it needs to be a two-way street. It's not just for the people, the women, the multicultural women who maybe aren't noticed as much. Like, this needs to be a group effort. We need to put all the energy out there.
I love that. I would say take the opportunity when you see that someone needs the feedback. Maybe they never received it, that you just reminded me, I was interviewing someone and her resume was good and her experiences were good, but she was all over the place. And at the end of the interview, I said, can I give you some feedback?
That's so nice. Sure. A lot of people don't do that.
And I gave her, and I told her, this is how you can answer this. This is how you should go about it. And she was like, wow, nobody has ever. And then it turned into a whole coaching session, because then I'm like, when you answer it ABC, you already have the experience you told me, but not everybody's going to be as patient, right? Like, I want to help her. And she was a multicultural woman. And I just hope that she's better because of it. And you could do that in a way that I felt that I was, she had the experience. I was helping her communicate it in a better way. But you know what? I think at the end of the day, if I had to summarize, when we think about how do we continue to advance and support the diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, mm-hmm. I would say like this. I would ask myself, well, this is how I ask myself, would I put the key to my success in other people's hands? No. Mm-mm. So why would I put the future of multicultural women in corporate America in the hands of somebody else? Why? Why should I blame everybody else? And you said something so powerful. Do not underestimate the power of one, because that one person that you may be mentoring today, that one person that you may be sponsoring, could be the next CEO, multicultural woman, that makes a huge wave in corporate America,
yeah,
and begins the change of something big. So do not underestimate the power of one.
We have episodes on everything we covered today, from mentoring to sponsoring and feedback and the broken rung. So check out the show notes for more episodes that'll help you take action. You can also sign up for our newsletter for even more resources.
Want more advice on how to break the rules and outsmart the game to advance your career? Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and our website, whatrulespodcast.com, for more insight from our guests and hosts, and join our community on LinkedIn, where we discuss rule-breaking strategies for multicultural women. What Rules is a project of Zara Consulting and is supported by the amazing team at Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta, with editing and music supervision by Joshua Ramsey, and was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant. Our podcast cover was designed by Delion Creative. Visit whatrulespodcast.com for more info, upcoming events, and all episodes of What Rules, including video, and make sure to give us a follow.